As I step into this pulpit this morning, I wonder what some of my dear colleagues are preaching. I wonder more so about my clergy friends in California, who for some step into unfamiliar naves and unfamiliar pulpits. Many in the hardest hit areas lost their beloved sanctuaries to the flames of either the Camp or Ventura County fires. I think about my colleague, Scott Maxwell Doherty, the university pastor at Cal Lutheran in Thousand Oaks, whose community was rocked by the shootings at the borderline on college night and appears under threat of wildfires as well. I wonder what words they will deliver from the pulpit this day with this gospel. What good news will they proclaim to their people, those who have been displaced, those who have escaped the fiery inferno, to those whom the bullets missed, or to those who lost loved ones in that line dancing bar? This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Jesus' words in this context seem to ring hollow, that this is really nothing in the long run. Like most of our human history, this is but a blip when held against the perceived eternity of the cosmos. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But Jesus says that all of this is not to alarm us. The end is still yet to come. A response that would lead one to believe that for the community of St. Mark, that they have seen or are currently seeing a period of tribulation, a time filled with wars or rumors of wars, with shared struggle and loss, a time ripe for the ascension of Messiahs, promising the restoration of all they hold dear, or the defense of their beloved temple. Do not be alarmed. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Hold fast, my beloveds. These are indeed the end times. But these sorts of things take time. In a sense, it is a proclamation that everything will be all right in the end. But right now, certainly things don't appear that way. You don't even have to check the headlines to know what I mean. And so we are alarmed. We do not follow that old World War II British slogan, keep calm and carry on. No, we panic. And we do exactly what Jesus tells us not to. Beware that no one leads you astray. Jonestown, Waco, Heaven's Gate. Throw in Harold Camping for good measure and his apocalyptic proclamation for May 21st, 2011. It just happened to coincide with my graduation from seminary. Take what you will with that. But let's be honest. Many of us here today aren't likely to be tempted away from the faith from whatever groups or charismatic leaders there might be out there in the world. But if we take a second and look in the mirror, there are still many things that claim our allegiance and promise us salvation. Maybe it's the lure of wealth or possessions, the consumerist economy and its unending consumption. Perhaps it's the possibility of climbing the ladder at work or into social circles that you've dreamed for acceptance in. It may not be charismatic voices that lure us in, but consciously or unconsciously, we will find ourselves seeking to find security in these things rather than in the God of all creation, the God who has promised us that everything will indeed be all right in the end. We hear in the Epistle to the Hebrews, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." Faithfulness. God in Christ Jesus tells us not to be alarmed at what appears to be the world falling apart around us. We're called and encouraged to trust in what the Father has promised through Moses and the prophets, and in what Jesus has accomplished for us once and for all through his passion. For contrary to popular expectations in Judaism and Christian apocalyptic circles, war and catastrophe, persecution, the fall of Jerusalem, and the desecration of the temple were not signs of the end of the world. Though these things had occurred or were occurring, the end is still to come. The end of history, or the culmination of all things, is rather than to be associated with the coming of the Son of Man in glory, which will occur only at the collapse of the cosmos. As St. Mark tells us, a combination of catastrophes, including the sun, the moon, and the stars, which will be unmistakable to all creation. Although the destruction of the temple is not a sign of the advent of the Messiah, it still is a major turning point in both Jewish and Christian history. From now on, for Christians, the coming of the Son of Man in glory replaces the temple as the focal point of hope for the full realization of the kingdom of God. And it is this word of hope that I believe will be proclaimed from those unfamiliar naves and those unfamiliar pulpits. A proclamation that this gospel does declare good news. The good news as it was for Mark's community, as it is now, that yes, things look bleak. It might just be terrible. But that nevertheless, God is going to intervene and make things right. For God is intervening and has intervened. God has come as one who suffers, one who reigns from the cross, which great act draws all things together to the goal, the eschaton, the kingdom. Or as my colleague and classmate, the pastor Ben Colahan, proclaimed to his congregation in Chico, California, which is just west of the decimated city of Paradise. His community, themselves, have been threatened by flames. They struggle with poor air quality, and yet they continue to witness and minister to the evacuees. He said these words, "Christ has established this church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is but the beginnings of the birth pangs. My siblings in Christ, do not be afraid and do not be alarmed. And remember that you dwell in the hand, in the palm of the author of life. Cling to the promise of the bath. Be nourished by the meal of the table. And remember We have one who has promised. The one who promises is faithful. Amen.